You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Over the years, there's one central theme that has stood out about every marriage I see that is in trouble. And it's always around the area of connection. I've talked about that a good bit, about how we need to be connected. And the reason is because we are wired as connecting creatures, probably more so than any other creature we know of, because not only do we have the natural ways of connecting with each other that other creatures might have, you know, of being close to each other, of being in a pack, of being in a tribe or a family, but we can also share things. We can talk about things. No other animal, as far as we know, has a capacity of saying, hey, do you remember back when we got married? Or do you remember back when we had kids? Or do you remember back before we had kids? We can recall those moments that bring out another layer of connection. As far as we know, we don't have any other animals, any creatures in the world that also can talk about what they want to have down the road. You can sit with your spouse and talk about what happens after retirement or what brings you the deepest level of satisfaction. And as far as we know, humans are the ones doing that, which means that we humans have this extra capacity for connection. But not only do we have an extra capacity for connection, we also have an extra need for connection. It's that deep, deep need we all have to feel truly connected, to have somebody on our side. In our early days of existence, that comes from our own family. You know, we have this deep place of connection in our own family that lasts really until we go off to school and we begin to find another group to connect with, our friends, our peer group. Over time, that peer group can change and adapt. And then at some point, we find this one person that we want to most deeply connect with. And so we launch into the process of marriage. And then often we launch into the process of family building. And then often we launch into the other poles of life that bring us away from that primary connection. Now, I'm not saying that we leave our family of origin behind and that we don't have any more connection with our peer group, but that deepest need for connection is built around marriage in our culture. Not about kids. Kids are great places of nurture, and we provide connection for them. The problem is many times parents are looking for connection the other way when the real place of connection is with that spouse. But over time, job, kids, other pulling things in our lives, hobbies, interest, or maybe just neglect begins to pull at the very structure of the marriage, the very threads of that connection, and it leads us to disconnection. And here is the real problem. When we start down the road of disconnection, it begins to atrophy our capacity in the relationship, not our capacity as individuals, but within the relationship to connect. In other words, it grows on itself, which is kind of the way we humans are about lots of things. Use it or lose it is a true analogy of most human things. Now, some we can regain, right? If you don't use your muscles over time, they'll atrophy, they'll get weak. But if you start exercising, you can bring them back. You can renew the strength of them. But if you just follow the path of least resistance, sometimes that moves us further and further away what's important to us. I've talked with some people, and they can readily tell me that they ought to be exercising. They ought to be doing things. And I can relate this in my own life. There was a period in my life when I knew I should be taking care of my body, but I wasn't. It's not as if I didn't know that that was important. I just wasn't doing it. And every day I didn't do it made it easier to not do it the next day. The fact is that in lots of ways, we humans are about that, about just about everything. When we start eating poorly, we often continue eating poorly. Once we start a bad habit, we allow that habit to grow more and more. And instead of changing it, we follow it downhill. This is the same with connection. When we begin to disconnect with a spouse, often that grows. And not only that, but it's multiplied because when you start disconnecting, a spouse might start disconnecting, or when a spouse starts disconnecting, you might start disconnecting. And over it goes back and forth like the ping pong game where you're moving further and further apart as you're hitting it across the net further and further away from each other until you are at the place of disdain. Disconnect can lead to disdain. Just like connection can lead to love and attachment, disconnection can lead us to disdain and hurt and anger. And we begin to crave it. We begin to look for other places to have that connection. Many times people find that in the wrong places. Sometimes they find it with their kids. They build a connection up with their kids. Many times I've talked with parents who have basically moved into the child's bedroom because it's a place of connection. Sometimes that child gets to hear things, or maybe has to hear things, from the parent that shouldn't be shared with the child, but they're finding somewhere to share it. Or maybe it's with a friend. Somebody builds connections with their buddies, their friends, their peer group as a way of finding that emotional connection, or that connection period, because emotional connection is just one of the dimensions. And sometimes people find it with inappropriate people in inappropriate relationships, leading to infidelity, emotional and physical infidelity. And those are all places where somebody is reaching out for connection, not knowing how to get back to that with the person that most needs and wants that connection, a spouse. Here's the nice thing about connection. Because we so deeply crave it, many couples are able to get past that void, to get back into shape with their connection. When I was out of shape, eating poorly and out of shape, it took me a moment to realize that I was the one who could change that, that I was the one who had the capacity of going and exercising at any time, of eating well and turning down the bad things at any time. But it all began with me making a decision to do that, knowing that I needed to do that, knowing that my body needed a change in that. Sometimes people underestimate just how much that still is possible in a relationship. So today I want to talk about three dimensions of connection. And here's the thing, these are also multipliers. Probably you at one point connected in some ways on all of three of these, even though you didn't know it. Some couples never make it to one level of connection. Just didn't even know, it didn't occur to them that it was there. But most couples start with two levels of connection. The third level is one of such intimacy that sometimes we have a hard time getting to it. So let's talk about these three dimensions of connection. The first one is physical connection. The second one is emotional connection. And the third one is spiritual connection. The spiritual connection is the one that many people miss. It either is so close and so tender, or so alien that they don't even know that that's a place of sharing. So let's talk about these three dimensions. The first one is the physical dimension. Sometimes people just assume that when I say that, I mean sex, but they forget that that's at the end of the line. That's the deepest level of connection, and I mean that in many ways, but that's one level of physical connection. Think about how any relationship begins to progress, usually, and sometimes it's a faster progression, but it usually starts with a hug or a kiss or a handhold. And then it goes to deeper levels of connection and longer periods of physical connection. So anytime we lovingly touch another person, we're creating a physical connection. Now, let me say that that is true with every relationship. So when you lovingly hold your child, you're creating a physical connection with that child. When you hold hands with somebody, you're creating a connection. If you've ever been in a group where you stood around in a circle, maybe you're doing a meditation or a prayer and you held hands, you might have noticed that some people are uncomfortable with that because they recognize that there's a physical connection to it, that you're creating a connection whether you mean to or not with that person. And so we might hug our friends and build some physical connection with them, but usually it's within some boundaries. The difference with a physical connection and marriage is that it's all in. That's the nature of physical connection, that physical connection in a marriage can include hand-holding and arm rubbing and back rubbing and neck rubbing and kissing and hugging and all kinds of sexual connection. Oftentimes, When we begin to have problems, we fall out of touch with each other physically. Maybe you think in the early days of your relationship when you couldn't keep your hands off each other. That is a layering of the physical connection, and it grows on itself as long as it's perpetuated. Now, at some point, those endorphins that have been raging through the body in the beginning parts of a relationship begin to cool off a little bit. So you naturally have to find a way of moderating that touch. That's a natural part. The problem is when we overshoot that. The problem is that when we stop the physical connection, we cut off that layer. Some people say, well, you know, we haven't been sexually intimate for years. And my response is, but there are lots of other ways of being physically intimate with somebody. It doesn't have to just be about sex. In fact, I would say that sex is a representation of it, but not the representation. It's the whole package of how we relate to each other physically. Sex is just one piece of it. So the first dimension is that physical dimension. Why is that first? Well, it's the most primitive. That's the one piece that every creature we know shares. You'll notice in wildlife that creatures, as they build connections, it's by bodily contact. When I teach scuba diving, one of the things we remind people is that when there's a crisis underwater, one of the first things you want to do is establish physical connection with your partner, with your dive partner, because physical connection naturally calms us down. It naturally gives us a place of hope and of some level of connection where we're at that same place. If you've ever noticed when a child is hurt, the first thing we do is scoop them into our arms and hold them tight. It's to build that physical connection. We share that at a very primitive level with other creatures. When we begin to have a disconnection in a relationship, sometimes that's what we most guard. You know, don't touch me. And so my suggestion is if you've become physically disconnected, you begin very slowly. Let me just say, I elaborate on all of these areas of connection in my book, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps. It outlines my 3 C's method of saving a relationship, and you can find that by going to savethemarriage.com/book. Savethemarriage.com/book. And that will take you right to a page where you can grab How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps. But the first thing I talk about is slowly rebuilding that physical connection. If it's been missing, you can't just go for broke. Many times people say, well, at what point can we just have sex? And that misses all of the steps of building back and of making safe and of recreating the physical connection that might have been missing for a long time. Sometimes people want things to turn around instantly, and it takes some time and some effort. And we slowly rebuild the peace. The most primitive and first layer of connection is physical connection. The second layer is emotional connection. Emotional connection is that sense of being in it together. But how do you build that sense of being in it together? Think back on your early stages in a relationship where you talked about any and everything, but you probably didn't spend a lot of time trying to fix the other person. To fix their problems, you probably listened and laughed and talked about, you know, that crazy person that was being mean at work, not trying to fix what was going on at work. The heart of emotional connection is not about hearing the words and giving advice, but in sharing the experience with the other person and building empathy. Empathy is based in understanding that the other person is feeling something and why they might be feeling it. It doesn't mean you have to feel the same thing, but to be able to acknowledge that they're feeling it, to be able to say, wow, it sounds like that really was hard today. Instead of going, well, I'll tell you what you need to tell your boss. What we often end up doing is getting to the place where we're giving advice without creating that empathy, without creating the connection, the emotional connection. So part of our struggle is to understand that emotional connection is really about listening to the person's process, not just hearing the words, not responding to every word, but listening for a process underneath it, the emotions underneath it, to create a feeling of empathy and understanding. Most of us want most to feel understood, way more than we want somebody to fix our problems. As adults, we tend to find that we're confident and maybe even competent to solve those issues at work and solve those issues at home. And that what happens when we're describing a bad day is just that we want somebody to say, "Wow, that sounds bad. Wow, that sounded like a tough day." Or to say, "Wow, that sounded like it was a great day. Wow, that sounds like it was a great presentation." When we share the highs and we share the lows, we create a place where the other person feels understood and feels accepted. Those two feelings are the biggest layers to emotional connection. Do you feel understood? Do you feel accepted? Does your spouse feel accepted? Does your spouse feel understood? That's where we can use those words of encouragement of, "Wow," or "Tell me more," or "Wow, that sounds like it must be difficult." Again, this is part of what I elaborate in my book, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps. And then there is that deepest level of connection, the spiritual connection. I save that for last because that's kind of the icing on the cake for couples who have worked through their physical connection and their emotional connection, and some couples haven't figured out that that's there. Spiritual connection is usually a layer of talking, so it still has some connection to that emotional space, but it's talking about some deeper issues or being with each other in those deeper moments. Maybe you've stood with somebody at the top of a mountain looking at a glorious view, and you didn't even have to say a word, but you both were taking in the amazement of that. You might have been reading it differently. You might have different feelings of why that's amazing, but to have that amazing feeling. Sometimes I've been traveling with my wife, and we've gone to somewhere that's just a beautiful view, whether it's the inside of a cathedral or the outside of a mountain, and just stood there, and no words were necessary because we were both in awe, but we were sharing that awe moment with each other. Sometimes, though, it's about talking about those things, about our beliefs. Sometimes I've been surprised by how rarely couples have shared their beliefs about the world and about the universe and your place in the world with each other. Perhaps they even shared it at one point, but things change over time. And couples sometimes miss the fact that their beliefs and how they understand the world probably have changed over the years. And if not, it's probably because they haven't talked about them. And so when we share our beliefs, we're bringing our spouse into a spiritual connection. When we talk about the values of what's most important to us. In the United States, we've just come through an election process that had a lot of people talking about values. And some people took the opportunity of sharing those deepest moments of values with their spouse as a way of building connection. And here's the thing. You don't have to agree about the values or the beliefs in order to be connected spiritually, to be able to allow the space for each of you to feel the way you feel and believe the way you believe, as long as it's not counter to some deeper places. I believe that there's room for the different values. I have many friends who don't see eye to eye on the spiritual spectrum or on the political spectrum, and yet they respect the other person's viewpoint. This is a little bit different than those values that I believe have to be matching. For instance, I talk about the fact that you can't be on different planes about, say, for instance, monogamy. If one person believes in bigamy and in polygamy, it's very hard for the other person to hold in a relationship around monogamy. But generally speaking, what I've realized is that most people have a core value and how they get to it is different. Politics is one of those places that really reveals that. When you really get down to it, most people want other people to be good, healthy, and even maybe wealthy, and for people to have a chance. How to get there is the biggest difference. So when we share those values, as long as we don't look just at the politics, but we look at the underlying values, we often find an alignment there. Spiritual connection is deeper than that, though. It's also about sharing what's meaningful to you and how you find purpose in the world, how you find your place of purpose and of meaning in the world, how you draw the meaning out of events. And more than that, it's also about how you share your dreams and your aspirations of where you want to be and what you hope for your kids, for you, for each other, for life. The risk is in sharing it. If you find yourself at a place of deep emotional and spiritual and physical connection, the place that I suggest you start is with emotional connection. It's easiest to dig in there because it's less threatening to the physical part, right? That the other person may have created a boundary around the physical, and it's less revealing than the spiritual. It's easy to talk about the difficult times you've had together. So if you're finding yourself trying to find a way through this path of disconnection, start with the emotional, ease into the physical, and start bringing in the spiritual to create a multiplying effect, a 3D model of connecting. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.